So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts 15. If not, you can just look up on the screen. It'll be up there. But we're going to be in Acts 15, and that is a chapter there that talks about problems within the church or a struggle going on in the church, and it gives us some perspective on how we can apply it to here, First Baptist Church of Lebanon. We live in a culture, guys, where people think that church is kind of for church people. The church, man, it's just kind of for the people who go to church. We just kind of have our own culture about us. I mean, we just have certain lingo that we say. We have certain words. We got certain ways we do things. We probably dress differently. We got we listen to different music. You can listen to the radio, and guaranteed, I can pick out the difference between Christian radio and other radio, not even listening to the lyrics. I can just tell by the sound of it that's Christian music. So, you know, it's very identifiable. We've got our own culture. And a lot of people sometimes think that church is just for church people. And obviously, we don't agree with that because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Churches for everybody. Churches for everyone. But the people who are outside the church kind of have this perspective at times that the church is just for those people who go to church. Now, the other thing that our culture kind of has a perspective of is that they really, yeah, church is for church people, but they also, they have a hunger for God. They really do. There's a all-time hunger for spirituality. People are searching. People are searching after spiritual things, and people are open to hearing and things like that. However, the problem has been connecting them to the church. The problem has been the church. For some reasons, they just think church is for church people, even though they're still hungry for God. And evidence of this is September 11th. When September 11th happened on that day, and we all sat there and watched on the TVs, and we all just were floored by what was going on. And then that Sunday, all of a sudden, the church was packed. Okay, because people were searching for answers, they were going through struggles, and they wanted to hear from God. They were seeking God. You know, when a struggle happened, they came to the church to seek for answers from God. And when we went, and after that, at baseball games, what did they play at the seventh inning? God Bless America. Okay, and so it's not that our culture is just without wanting to hear from God, without wanting to seek from God. The problem comes with connecting them to the church. The problem comes is somehow they're not getting connected here. They're just not getting connected. And so we had a huge service on September 11th, and then the next Sunday there was a little less, and the next Sunday a little less, and then the next Sunday after that a little more less. Oop, mic. And then the next Sunday, a little bit more or less. And then, you know, and you can see it on holidays, too. Christmas, you know, you got all these people here. Easter, you got all these people here. Everybody brings their families. The place is packed. And then a couple weeks after that, it just kind of gets lower and lower and lower. And then you hear pastors say, well, man, those people who are seeking after God, they're just not committed. They just need to be more committed. They should just be more committed to church. They should just be more committed to God, and they should just come and be committed. And, you know, I don't think it's that. People have this hunger from God, or hunger for God, but the church seems to be in the way. And God says, I will establish my church, and nothing will be able to stop it. But the funny thing is, the weird thing is, the church just seems to be getting in the way a lot of times. See, sinners, they loved to hang out with Jesus. They loved to hang out with Jesus. I mean, they were just so attracted to him and just spent all kinds of time around him. They felt accepted. They felt loved. All these certain things. And the local church should be that. People should be attracted to the local church. Why? Because aren't we the body of Christ? Are we not the body of Christ? And we're the connection. We're the closest thing to Jesus that they're ever going to see. We are the closest thing to Jesus that they will ever see. We are their connection. And they're not magnetized by the local church like they were magnetized to Jesus. And it's really easy to say, well, it's just their fault they're not committed. But maybe it's our lack of resembling who Christ really is. Okay? And guys, I just want so badly for this church. And I see us going through these changes and things like that. And I'm just so encouraged to see you guys and a willingness to do whatever it takes to be used by God. Because we don't want to be a church that just goes through the motions. We don't want to be a church that just comes here on Sunday and Wednesday and then just goes home. And we don't think about it. And our lives aren't lived to the full. Our lives aren't lived through the power of God. And we don't see miracles done by God. And so I don't want to go through the motions. See, people should be able to come back here. People should be able to come here and say, you know what? A guest from the outsider should be able to come in and say, I don't believe it. I don't really know what's going on, but I like it. You know, they should be able to say, I don't agree with it. I don't understand it, but I'm coming back. All right? And it's just like, I feel more accepted by the people I don't agree with than the people I do. I don't know what it is. Those people are weird, but I really like them. Do they have that perception about us? Do they have that perception? And so that's a question we need to ask ourselves and something that we need to change and get better at. And so here is an example here in Acts 15 of a church going through the same struggle back then that we're going through now. The church is kind of just for church people. All right, and here in Acts 15, it's pretty cool here. What we got is in here, it's the first church business meeting notes. Yes. In detail. So that should be fun. So what's going on here? Before we look at the passage, let me give you a little summary of what's going on. People are just now starting to come to Christ. They're starting to become Christians. And the very first Christians were Jewish. And there were plenty of them, okay? And so they knew, they kind of had their own little deal there. They were all Jewish, and so they all knew the Old Testament. They knew the language. They knew the customs. They had their meeting places. They met in synagogues. And they heard sermons and all this stuff. And so they kind of had their own Jewish culture. And this was Christianity, okay? Now, in Acts chapter 2, what happens is a whole bunch of them come to Christ, like a lot, like thousands. And all of a sudden, you have this huge mega church in Jerusalem, okay? First church here is this huge mega church in Jerusalem, and a lot of them come to Christ. And so there's this assumption here that you've got to become Jewish before you become Christian. You got to become Jewish before you become Christian. And so there's this insider culture of all these people who become Jewish. And the distinction here in what the Bible has is there's Jews and Gentiles. Jews and then the Gentiles are just everybody else in the world. And so we would be classified as Gentiles. And so what's going on here is that these Jews are coming to Christ. And if anybody else wants to come to Christ, they need to become Jewish before they become Christian. Okay? Because right at the same time, Paul and his buddies are out, and they're out talking to the Gentiles, and they're winning people to Christ, and all of a sudden, these people back home in Jerusalem are saying, wait a second, they need to become Jewish before they become Christian. See, it's the same conflict they're dealing with that we deal with today. See, all of a sudden there's a formula. There's something that you have to do. There's a formula. There's certain ways you have to do things in order to get to Christ. All of a sudden, the insiders are making it hard for the outsiders. See, Jesus was only gone a couple months, and he was making it hard for the people to come to Christ. Now look in your Bibles, Acts 15:1. You'll see it up there on the screen. And it says, some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. All righty. That's a pretty high standard there. Okay? You have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. Okay? And can you imagine, I mean, imagine that perspective there, being a Gentile, having no clue what's going on, hearing this wonderful message about the gospel, and then someone telling you, oh, but wait, if you want to be Christian, you got to have this surgery. Okay? Can you imagine that? I mean, there was probably some families there where the dad was just like, you know what? You guys go ahead. I got to think about this. The new members class had to be all women. All right? It was just unbelievable that now all of a sudden, if you want to become a Christian, you got to have this surgery. And can you imagine Paul? Paul, who had gone out and preached to all the Gentiles, now these Jewish people in Jerusalem were saying, Paul, you did a good thing, but you need to go back and tell all your friends who came to Christ, if you want to go to heaven, you got to have this surgery. All right, and so you can see the conflict going on here, and there's a conflict in the church. Here we are, Acts 15:2. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some of the other believers to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. Skip to verse 4, and it says, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. So Paul was talking about all that God had been doing through them, how the people had been coming to Christ, and how they had received the Holy Spirit without becoming Jewish before they became Christians. Verse 5. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said to the Gentiles, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. Jesus had, here's the deal. Jesus hadn't even finished saying hi to everybody in heaven. And here's the church. The first church, the biggest church, and they're creating this monster obstacle of people coming to Christ. They're creating this huge obstacle to keep people from coming to Christ. And it's kind of like this ladder. Okay? And it kind of resembles like at church, it's just, you know, people want to come to Christ. All right? And here you have all your insiders up here on all these rungs. And people will come to church and they'll look at that and go, man, wow, you're up there. I wish I could get up there. I wish I could have faith like you have faith. I wish I could have a relationship with God like you have a relationship with God. I wish I could pray like you pray. I wish I could come and understand the Bible and have all that knowledge like you have. But it's too hard. How do I get up there? And we've created obstacles in our church to keep the outsiders outside and to make sure the insiders are comfortable. And so it's this idea of keeping the insiders on the inside and the outsiders on the outside. And see, the Pharisees here, they just said, hey, that's too bad. That's just too bad. They have to fulfill all the law. They have to fulfill the law. They have to become Jewish before they become Christian. Acts 15:7-10. Look at that. And it says, after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from the lips the message of the gospel and believe. And God knows the heart. Showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He made no distinction between them and us, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? Basically, he's saying, okay, you're unchurched people here. And look at verse 10. It says, now then, why do you try to test God? He's saying, if you're going to put up these obstacles, and if you're going to make it hard for people to come to Christ, you are testing God. Okay, translations, you are working against God. It's that serious of a thing there. If you are creating obstacles to keep people from coming to Christ, you are working against God. See, because a lot of times, here's the deal. If we were to put all of these bottom rungs on the ladder, well, then anybody could get up. Anybody could get up there. Anybody could come. And then it'd be really crowded up there at the top. Shouldn't we make it difficult for people to come? Shouldn't Christianity be a hard thing? Shouldn't they earn it? See, if we would put the bottom rungs on there, anybody could come and have a relationship with God. And Peter's saying here, hey, do you keep the law perfectly? Have you kept it perfectly? And have you and I kept it perfectly? No. So why are we putting something on them? Why are we putting an obstacle in front of them that we can't even fulfill ourselves? It's the insiders putting an obstacle out there for the outsiders. Okay, Acts 15:11, it says, no, we believe it is through grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. So we are saved by faith in Christ, and so are they. And this is huge. Here's the verse that I want you to get at. This is what I want you to look at and learn and love. This verse, I love it, and it applies in so many different ways. And it says, Acts 15:19. Skip to there, and it says, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Wow. You know, duh. You know, let's just not make it difficult for people who want to come to Christ. Let's just not make it difficult for the people who are coming to God. Let's take some of these rungs and let's just make it a little bit easier. Let's take it and let's put that on there. Let's just make it a little bit easier for somebody who wants to come to God. Let's just not make it difficult. Let's just not put obstacles in front of people so that they're able to take these small steps into a relationship with God. And we need to look at these obstacles in our lives because the church has done it, guys, for years. And see, we want those steps to be so low that anybody can come. See, Jesus made those steps so low that this tax collector named Zacchaeus that stole a lot of money from a lot of people could climb that ladder. And Jesus made those steps so low that someone could come who wasn't just having adultery, but was caught in adultery. It wasn't just a rumor, or it wasn't just a fact. Someone who was caught in adultery could climb the ladder. The steps were so low that anybody could come. These steps need to be so low that children can come and climb that ladder and have a relationship with God. Now let's read on. Acts 15:20-21, and here's the conclusion they came to. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. See, and what the conclusion they came to here was is that, you know, food with blood in it and things like that, and abstaining from sexual immorality. These are things, obviously, abstaining from sexual immorality is a key there. But abstaining from blood, things like that, that's just a compromise because the Israelites would not have been able to associate with anybody eating anything with blood in it. It was just so repulsive to them that they wouldn't have been able to fellowship. And so here it is, just saying, Gentiles, in order to have a relationship with God, here's the things you need to do. Abstain from sexual immorality. And basically he says, and just don't do offensive things that would just totally repulse Jews. All right? And basically, here's the summarize. And they came to the conclusion of the gospel needs to be easy and accessible. The gospel needs to be easy and accessible. Easy and accessible. And if we don't, we're working against God. And if we don't, the God who we say we love, we kind of end up fighting against. See, a strange thing happened. See, they came to a good conclusion and they decided, hey, let's not put this obstacle in front of God or in front of the outsiders. Let's let the outsiders come in, be insiders. Let's not put that obstacle up in the way. And so they came to a good conclusion. But the funny thing is, 100 years later, they were back in the same spot. And then 300 years later, you couldn't get connected to the local church if your life depended on it. And then in year 1090, we just decided, let's not go out and save people. Let's just go kill them all. And then in the 1400s, in the Spanish Inquisition, it was just this idea of let's purify the church. Let's kill a whole, let's just kill people who don't do things the way we do them. Let's just get rid of them and kill them. And then after that, we had Martin Luther with the Reformation, and he came and reformed the church, and so the church split and things like that. People were getting more connected to God. We had the printing press, and so people were getting more and more connected. They had connection to the scriptures and things like that. And then we split off of the Protestants into 40 different denominations. And it seems like we're always putting up obstacles. The church has had a huge, huge history of keeping the insiders in and the outsiders out. We tend to put up these obstacles. We want them to go through a formula. We want them to jump through hoops. We want them to do this. We want them to do that in order to connect with God. And you know what? We don't even do it intentionally. We don't do it intentionally. But what happens is any organization that has a membership, any church, any country club, things like that, the tendency is to take the rungs off and say, here we are, we're the members, let's think about us, all right? I'm pretty sure the members of the country club here in town aren't joining, becoming members of the country club and thinking, hey, what can we do for those people who aren't members of the country club, okay? That's just not how organizations and memberships work. The organizations and churches and everything that kind of has a membership always has a tendency to kind of take these things off, create an obstacle, and make it hard for someone to come to God. To put up these obstacles and so that the insiders, they're up here, and here we are looking at the outsiders. And we don't do it intentionally, but that just kind of is how the tendency goes. It's how it's been done through history, all right? And if we don't watch it, that's what happens at First Baptist Church of Lebanon. And that is what can happen here if we don't watch it. See, because, you know, members and our insiders, we have our own language, we have our own programs, we have our own culture, we have all the things to do because we're thinking about us. And we're not thinking about everybody else. We want them to be able to come in and say, I don't know if I buy it, but I like them. I don't know if I believe it, but my kids want to come back. Are they attracted to the local church like they were attracted to Jesus? And if not, ask yourself, why not? Where are these rungs? Where are these rungs in our church? Why aren't they attracted to First Baptist Church of Lebanon like sinners flocked to Jesus? They just wanted to spend time with him. Why aren't they here? Where are these rungs? See, for the first time ever this year, the Southern Baptist Convention, our convention that we're a part of, for the first time ever, the Southern Baptist Convention decreased in size. First time ever. And you know why? It's because people took these rungs off and they just decided, hey, we're not going to change. It's going to be about us. We're just going to sit up here and it's going to be about the insiders. And people have put up obstacles without even realizing it in their local churches. And they say, hey, come to church, come to church. And hey, come to church. And then they come to church and then here they are. And they don't know what to do. They don't know how to get there. They don't know how to do it. It's too hard. It's too big of a step. And so what we're going to be doing, and what Matt's going to be talking about over the next couple weeks, that you need to keep this in perspective, is this idea of putting steps in place and just not creating obstacles for people to come to God, for people to come to him. And see, this is something that we need to look at, and we've already done in some aspects, like for instance our 10:30 service. What kind of service would an outsider more typically come to, a traditional or contemporary? Well, contemporary. Well, what time was that contemporary service a while back? 8 o'clock. what outsider is going to come to church at 8 o'clock? Not that many, okay? And so what we did, I mean, the step was, we took the step off. And I was like, all right, outsiders, come on, 8 o'clock, Sunday morning, let's do this. You know, that's not going to happen. And so what we did is we switched the services, and it messed up our schedules. It messed up how we did things, and it was hard for us. But what we did in that process is we put on a couple more steps, and we made those steps just a little bit lower for somebody to come. And we just made it a little bit easier, and we just took away that obstacle. You see that obstacle, how it was there? Hey, come join us. See you at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. All right. You know, it was just an obstacle, and we didn't do it on purpose. But that is just the tendency of churches, to look at the insiders and to put up obstacles for the outsiders. I've had to look at this with my youth programs. There's been things that I liked and things that I wanted to have, and I was just like, you know, is that effective? Or is that creating an obstacle? Or is what I'm doing easy and accessible? Or are there rungs on the ladder short enough for someone to just be able to naturally walk up and walk into the ministry? Because coming into relationship with God can be hard enough and intimidating enough. And coming into the church, guys, if you've been here forever, we lose perspective of how intimidating it is for someone who doesn't come to church, who doesn't know anybody here. We lose perspective of how hard it is just to simply come, let alone have a relationship with God. And so people come, maybe people come, and all of a sudden it's like, it's too hard. The rungs weren't there. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy and accessible. And see, that's what Matt's going to be talking about for the next 2 weeks. And just keep this in perspective over the things of the process of how we make disciples, of how we want to mature people in our walk with Christ. Keep this in mind. And as we go through changes and people are like, hey, why are we changing? You know, why do we have to change? We're doing pretty good. But they're not attracted to us like they were attracted to Jesus. And so be thinking, hey, what obstacles are in my life? What obstacles are in our church? What obstacles are in our church? And as we go through these changes that aren't easy, that are hard, that just get in our way and things like that, let's start thinking about those who aren't here. Let's not make it difficult for those who are coming to God. Let's make the rungs as low as possible. Let's make it easy and accessible, because that's what Jesus did. Because that's what he did. And if you're someone here today and you're just like, man, I understand totally, because I'm here for the first time and I've been intimidated to come to church, and you know, I've come, and then, you know, I truly want to know how to have a relationship with God, but it's just too hard. You come here, and they talk about things that you don't understand, and you don't know how to get connected. And let me just tell you, Jesus, a relationship with Jesus can be easy and acceptable. He will accept you just as you are. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to do certain things in order to come to Christ. You come to him as you are, and then he cleans you up. It's kind of like a relationship with your mom when you were growing up, when you would go outside, ride my bike and do all kinds of things and try and do things that I can't do on bikes and stuff, and fall, scrape my knees, and get all bloody and things like that. I wouldn't go in and then mom look at me and go, ugh, clean yourself up before you come back in, you know, and bind all your, you know, get all your bandages on there and clean everything up before you can hang out with me or come into my presence. No, mom was always the one to clean up the cuts, right, to bandage me, and to make everything better. That's how it is with the relationship with God. You don't have to come to him. You don't have to clean yourself up before you come to him. See, he accepts us as we are. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us so that we can come to him and he can purify us. And so, church, let's keep that perspective in mind over these next few weeks as Matt talks. And right now, I want you guys to go ahead and stand. And if there is a if there's anybody who needs to come forward and pray, if there's anybody who wants to join the church, if you just want someone to pray for you or want to know about how to have a relationship with God, you can come and do that at this time while we play this video.